Hello, this is Brian Michael Page. Welcome to the Christos Vincit Podcast, a division of the Christos Vincit Network. Podcast
number 7!
Christos Vincit, Christos Regnat, Christos Imperat.
Hello and welcome. Today is Saturday, January 14th, 2006. For the morning daily mass, it is simply the Saturday of the first week of ordinary time, with the option of having mass in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary on this or any Saturday. For the evening, we celebrate the vigil or anticipated mass of the second Sunday of ordinary time, which will be tomorrow. We have found the Messiah, the Christ. Today we'll continue our journey through the germ, and we're going to do a slightly different segment later on in the show. We're going to disperse with the good, the bad, and the ugly for this episode anyways, and we'll be doing a top 10 list in the style of David Letterman, my late night idol. Also later on, we're going to have some music by Jeff Hall. Oh, by the way, I would like to thank Captain Caveman for coming out of his retirement to give us the big number 7 introduction. The weekend schedule of Holy Ghost is 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, and 7:30, 9 o'clock, and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. The 10:30 Mass is the Choral Mass. Let's go over the music that we'll be playing this weekend for the second Sunday of Ordinary Time. This music is going to be for all the Masses, by the way. We'll start with the introit hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Yes, the famous Old 100th. One of our future plans will be to teach the choir the Old 100th Psalm tune arrangement by Ralph Vaughan Williams. The Vaughan Williams arrangement was actually written for the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II of England in 1953. And it's something that Vaughan Williams himself had referred to as a mess-up of Old 100th. The Gloria is that of Mass of the Bells by C. Alexander Pelequin. The psalm setting was the setting that is found in Worship 3rd Edition, appointed for this weekend, Psalm 40, with the response, Here am I, Lord, I come to do your will. The antiphon is written by Richard Prue, the verses by Père Joseph Gélineau. The translation is from the Grail, which is out of England, still approved for liturgical use as a responsorial psalm. The song Alleluia for today is set to music by Anthony Gregory Murray, and the verse to accompany the Alleluia for the day is sung to Psalm Tone 8G. Today's offertory hymn, Lord, who at thy first Eucharist didst pray. This is a hymn that's often found in some books as At That First Eucharist Before You Died. The tune, written by William Henry Monk, is called Unde et Memores. Those Latin three words begin the second half of Eucharistic Prayer 1, the Roman Canon. For the Liturgy of the Eucharist, we're using a sung composite setting for the next few weeks, consisting of the Sanctus in Agnus Dei from People's Mass by Jan Vermulst. The Anamnesis, or Memorial Acclamation, is the Latin Mortem Tuam Annuntiamus Domine, which is from the 1974 Jubilate Deo collection of the Mass Chants. And to conclude the Eucharistic Prayer, we'll be using the Danish triple Amen. I think many are familiar with that one. Amen, Amen, Amen. That one there. The Lord's Prayer, as usual, is sung to the chant tune that's in the sacramentary in English. The communion song for today is in responsory form, chosen because of the Psalm 23-based communion proper. We use the Joseph Gélineau setting, My Shepherd is the Lord. And we're finishing off our weekend liturgies with another familiar hymn, The Church's One Foundation, set to a tune called Aurelia by Samuel Wesley, one of the famous Wesley brothers.
Journey through the germ.
For today's journey through the germ, I'm going to take you now through the communion rite. But first, let me ask you something. During the Sundays and solemnities of the Christmas season, How many of you dare to use O Come Let Us Adore Him as the memorial acclamation? Hopefully the show of hands is nil. This is not a memorial acclamation. Go back to my last show and you'll see exactly which four English acclamations are allowed by the church.
Pater Noster, qui es in caelis.
Well, now we're up to the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus Christ himself taught us to pray. Here's paragraph 81, which states thus. In the Lord's Prayer, a petition is made for daily food, for which Christians means preeminently the Eucharistic bread, and also for purification from sin, so that what is holy may, in fact, be given to those who are holy. The priest says the invitation to the prayer, and all the faithful say it with him. The priest alone adds the embolism, which the people conclude with a doxology. The embolism, enlarging upon the last petition of the Lord's Prayer itself, begs deliverance from the power of evil for the entire community of the faithful. The invitation, the prayer itself, the embolism, and the doxology by which the people conclude, these things are sung or said aloud. Now, the old format before Vatican II was the celebrant chanting or saying the Latin Pater Noster alone, with the people joining in only at the last line, Sed libera nos a malo, that is, but deliver us from evil. The proper format today is that all sing or say the Our Father up through but deliver us from evil. The priest then says the embolism, that is the short prayer that starts with, deliver us, Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. The people respond with the doxology, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. This doxology was never used at Holy Mass until the current Missal, though many Protestant denominations have for a long time used the text, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, that particular translation is used in the familiar Lord's Prayer setting that was written by Alfred Hay Mallott. I like to refer to this as the Pericomo Our Father, and the reason being is that precisely at 6 a.m., this certain radio station that my mother would listen to would play the Mallott Lord's Prayer, as rendered by none other than Pericomo himself.
Agnus Dei.
Now we're going to skip over a little bit. We're going to go to the last half of paragraph 82, which talks about the Agnus Dei, or the Lamb of God. The priest breaks the bread and puts a piece of the host into the chalice to signify the unity of the body and blood of the Lord in the work of salvation, namely, of the living and glorious body of Jesus Christ. The supplication of Agnus Dei is, as a rule, sung by the choir or cantor with the congregation, responding, or it is at least recited aloud. This invocation accompanies the fraction and, for this reason, may be repeated as many times as necessary until the rite has reached its conclusion, the last time ending with the words, Dona nobis pacem, or grant us peace. Now this three-verse litany begins with Agnus Dei, qui tollis peccata mundi. In each of the three verses, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Now, for those first two verses, we respond, Miserere nobis, or have mercy on us. And for the third and final verse, Dona nobis pacem, or grant us peace. If it must be repeated, you should keep going on with the verses ending in have mercy on us. And the final should always end with grant us peace. One word of advice, you should try to stay away from making up tropes like Jesus, Lamb of God, or Risen Lord, or Prince of Peace. They're just not part of the Agnus Dei. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. And at the very end, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Grant us peace. Now we're going to move on to the reception of communion and paragraphs 86 and 87. First, we'll give you paragraph 86. While the priest is receiving the sacrament, the communion chant is begun. Its purpose is to express the communicant's union in spirit by means of the unity of their voices, to show joy of heart, and to highlight more clearly the communitarian nature of the procession to receive communion. The singing is continued for as long as the sacrament is being administered to the faithful. If, however, there is to be a hymn after communion, the communion chant should be ended in a timely manner. Care should be taken that singers, too, can receive communion with ease. Now, this paragraph implies that the communion hymn or chant must be sung by everybody. However, watch this. Paragraph 87 clearly states, in the dioceses of the United States of America, there are four options for the communion chant. 1. The antiphon from the Roman Missal or the psalm from the Roman Gradual, as set to music there or in another musical setting. 2. The seasonal antiphon and psalm of the simple gradual. 3. A song from another collection of psalms and antiphons approved by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops or the diocesan bishop, including psalms arranged in responsorial and metrical forms. 4. A suitable liturgical psalm chosen in accordance with number 86 above. It's the paragraph I just read earlier. This is the sung either by the choir alone or by the choir or cantor with the people. If there is no singing, however, the communion antiphon found in the missal may be recited either by the faithful or by some of them, or by a lector. Otherwise, the priest himself says it after he has received communion and before he distributes communion to the faithful. Now, what do we just discover? The music can be sung by the choir alone. In fact, in this paragraph that we just read, that's what was listed first amongst the options of how communion chant or hymn may be sung. And the options of what may be sung is listed in a manner similar to that of the entrance chant or hymn. I stress this because on certain message boards, I've noticed this fuss that the people in the pew should always be singing. Such is not always the case here, you know. As much as possible, I do tend to program responsories at communion, that is, music where the antiphon can be sung by all, and in that case, either I will intone it first, or I have another cantor who can intone it at first, and then the people repeat, and then the verses are sung by a cantor or a choir. Or I will simply program a hymn that has a refrain that people will catch. In most cases, I try to make it close to the proper as possible. It doesn't always happen, but most of the time it does. Something else here, back to paragraph 86 about the hymn after communion, often known as the hymn of praise or meditation hymn. This is something, personally, I very seldom program, and will often start it as Father is done purifying the sacred vessels. In most cases, this meditation hymn will be done usually on Father's request, which is rare, or on a special feast, often by someone else's request, maybe someone who's coordinating special liturgy. In our next podcast, we will conclude our journey through the germ with the dismissal, the unofficial recessional hymn, you'll find out why it's unofficial, and the credo. Up. Today's Christus Vinci Top 10 is brought to you by the Tithomatic, the new device that you can now use to make your offering by credit or debit card. Tithomatic comes with a long arm, just like a real collection basket, and a built-in card machine. Just swipe your card and you're good till next Sunday. And to boot, your parish's income for the week will skyrocket. Tithomatic, brought to you by the October 2005 archives of the Curt Jester. www.splendoroftruth.com/Kurt Jester. I have in front of me on my computer screen, which I like to call my teleprompter, today's top 10 list, yes, inspired by my late night hero, David Letterman. From the home office in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, here is the top 10 signs you've been to a bad mass. Here we go. Number 10. Both standard and happy clappy styles of music are gone. Rap music now at the altar. Number 9. Altar servers are those short, fat Oompa Loompa guys. Number 8. Vodka in the chalice. Number 7. Liturgical dancers dressed like Britney Spears. Ew! Now, who in their right mind would want to dress like that? Number 6. Credit cards taken at the offertory. Number 5. Celebrant brags about his desire to watch fake wrestling after Mass as part of his homily. Number 4. Immersion baptism pool made by Jacuzzi. Number 3. Host replaced with M&Ms. 2. You take your pet to church and drink from the holy water. And the number 1 sign you've been to a bad Mass. You're at St. Joan of Arc in Minneapolis. Ew! Now we got some music for you. Here is Jeff Hall. Hey, what you just heard was part one of the Sinfonia from Cantata number 29 by Johann Sebastian Bach, played by Jeff Hall and brought to you by SoundClick.com. Jeff is a classical musician with music at the SoundClick site. You can visit his SoundClick site at www.soundclick.com/flagmusic. You can also visit his personal site at www.jeffsrags.com. Thank you very much, Jeff, for your kind written permission to use your performance today. So a couple of links of interest for today. The Adoramus Society for the Renewal of Sacred Liturgy has a sister site founded by the editor of the Adoramus Bulletin. This site is called Women for Faith and Family and is founded by Helen Hull Hitchcock. Just like the Adoramus Society, it's truly Catholic and loaded with some very, very good articles. You can find it at www.wf-f.org. By the way, we had Mrs. Hitchcock come to Holy Ghost last March to speak about liturgy changes. She comes very highly recommended. Nothing is watered down. She gives you the facts just as they are. And don't forget the Adoramus website itself, which is at www.adoramus.org. There's a blog that features Catholic podcasts that is run by one of our disciples with microphones, and you can find that one at www.catholicpodcasts.info. And of course, we also have the Disciples with Microphones website itself, www.discipleswithmicrophones.org. The Christus Vincit podcast is a member of this prestigious organization. Now, if you go to our podcasting website, cvpodcasting.blogspot.com, you can scroll down the sidebar on the left and cast your vote for us at Podcast Alley, or you can just go to www.podcastalley.com, type in Christus Vincit in the search engine, and vote for us that way. It'll help us spread the word around the globe. And here's another podcast you can vote for.
Hi, this is Father Jay Finelli from iPadre Catholic Podcast.
iPadre.
Interviews, stories, news, music, all things Catholic and then some. Drop by our site at iPadre.net. That's iPadre.net. God love you.
One note, too, about the iPadre Catholic Podcasting. He has a link on his site that brings you to Podcast Alley, so you can vote for the iPadre as well. And the iPadre, just like the Christus Vincit podcast, is a member of Disciples with Microphones. And, of course, don't forget to check out the Christus Vincit Network, which contains a link to this podcast, our brother blog, and also the Holy Ghost Music Ministry. That is www.christusvincit.net. I thank you very much for joining us today. On our next podcast, we're going to finish up our journey through the germ. I am Brian Michael Page. Peace.
Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus impera.